You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're in this two-week mini-series, if you will, on Proverbs chapter 3. Last week, if you were here, Owen, he walked us through the first 12 verses of Proverbs 3 and encouraging us to know how wisdom works, how wisdom shapes our trust in the Lord, how wisdom shapes our obedience and our humility, and even how the Lord uses his wisdom to discipline his children. And today in Proverbs 3, we're going to continue on with the same thought, but the focus is going to shift a little bit. Last week, the question kind of was, well, how does wisdom work? This week, the focus shifts to a question, well, why is wisdom worth wanting in the first place? Why would I want wisdom? I believe in a room of this size with this many people and watching online, whether you're in a younger season of life or older season of life, I believe all of us, whether we describe it differently, all of us want a life that is steady and meaningful. All of us want a life that is filled with blessing. Now, Proverbs 3, it steps into that desire and actually says, you are right to want that desire. You are right to want a life that is filled with blessing. But Proverbs is saying, the Lord is going to show you where that blessing is actually found. In verse 13, if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, this is what it says. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and who gets understanding. The Bible here, it redirects our desires to something greater, to something of more value. And that something is wisdom. And wisdom here, it's presented as a treasure, something that is worth seeking, something that is worth desiring. Now, the wisdom that Proverbs 3 is talking about here, it is the skill or the ability to live God's way in God's world. The ability to live according to God's way in God's world, the world that he created. There is a difference between a worldly wise person and a biblically wise person. The worldly wise person knows how to live as they see the world, but the biblically wise person knows how to live as God sees the world. The worldly wise person can be extremely educated, can be very street smart with a ton of common sense and logic that helps them get ahead of other people in the world. And based on the world standards, that would be wisdom for them. The biblically wise person listens for God's voice, submits to his ways, and chooses faithfulness over self-reliance. That biblically wise person is who the author here is describing as blessed. Biblical wisdom is being in right standing with God, and with that right standing, with living God's way in God's world, brings a lasting joy that nothing in this life can offer. In a world that constantly tells us to chase more, to earn more, to upgrade more, to want more, Proverbs 3 says there is one pursuit that outshines them all. There is one treasure that is above every other treasure. A treasure that will never lose its value. And that treasure is wisdom, is living God's way in God's world. So a question for us is wisdom valuable enough to become our greatest desire? Is wisdom valuable enough to become our greatest treasure? God's word says it is. It is. And so we will look at what is the blessing that wisdom brings and why is wisdom worth wanting more than anything else. We're going to ask today, is wisdom worth it? Look at verse 13 again. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Verse 14, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. First thing for you, if you want to write something down, what wisdom brings a profit greater than wealth. Verse 14 here, it begins with the word for, meaning it's explaining why the person who finds wisdom, which is verse 13, why the person who finds wisdom is blessed. And the words gain and profit are used. And those are words that we would use in business, words that we would use with things like investments to determine, hey, like, what's the profit of this thing that I'm investing in? And so wisdom is being evaluated here in the same way that you would evaluate investments in things like gold or silver or whatever else you invest in nowadays. What is the profit of this investment? Is it worth it? Am I going to get more than what I put in? Like, is it going to be worth my time, worth my while? And the answer here is clear. Wisdom is the treasure that brings the greatest profit. Wisdom blesses your lives in ways that wealth simply cannot. You can have all the money in the world, but from God's perspective, living God's way in God's world, the person who has wisdom, it's just better. It's just better. Now, this verse does not promise that wisdom will make you rich. The Lord is teaching us that wisdom gives better outcomes than wealth ever can. The book of Proverbs actually repeatedly speaks about wealth without wisdom. Proverbs 11:28 says, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Proverbs 28:26, "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." Listen, if a person trusts that wealth will lead to the blessed life, that Bible is saying that person is actually a fool because they are chasing something that is not meant to give what they're looking for. They're chasing for blessing in the wrong area. Listen, wisdom is not anti-wealth, but it is better than wealth. Why? Because wisdom, living God's way in God's world, is what then leads to God's blessing. Money can buy things, but listen, money can't buy you good judgment. Money can buy you that new phone, you know, make you feel like you have the latest and greatest, like iPhone 27 or whatever number we're at right now. But listen, money cannot buy you the wisdom you need to know how to use that phone. Money can't buy you the wisdom to know how to not make that phone into an idol or to use it for sin. Money can buy you that new house or that cottage and give you that sense of security and comfort. But listen, money can't give you the wisdom to know how to use that house, how to be hospitable with the home that you have, or how to live with grace and mercy with the people who live with you in that home. Do you see wisdom as a greater prize than any type of wealth you could get? Do you see having the ability to live God's way in God's world? Do you see that as a treasure without equal, as something that nothing else in your life can give you what that gives? Listen, the biblically wise person understands that true wealth is not just money or possessions. It's life lived in step with God. We measure success far too often by what we make or what we own. But listen, two people can make the same amount of money, have the same amount of stuff, have the same valuation of a home, have the same cottage that they go to every summer, have the same investments. But the one who lives wisely with what he has and what the Lord has given, that stewards relationships well, that manages time well based on biblical wisdom, that person is more blessed by the Lord. Listen, no wealth or status or profession or stuff can give me what wisdom can give. It just can't. And listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? It doesn't start with your own ideas. It doesn't start with social trends. Wisdom starts with a reverent relationship with the Lord. If you want a profit that lasts longer than any wealth, start by seeking the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And also know this, wisdom is not automatic. It is a gift of God. We must actively request this gift. James 1 talks about this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. Are you asking God for wisdom? I was thinking about this in my own life this week, and the last couple of weeks even. So often I go to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, like I want you to work in this situation. I want you to do what only you can do in this situation. Please help in this situation. And then at times I'm like, I don't even ask for wisdom, though, for myself in those situations. We're saying maybe all the right things, but are we actually asking the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom for this right now. Wisdom that is not my own, that is from you. If we're not asking for wisdom, might it be because we don't actually see wisdom as worth it? But it is. Oh, but it is. We need to ask God for it. Money can buy comfort. Money can buy earthly things. But only wisdom can make life truly blessed. Wisdom brings a profit greater than wealth. But not only that, wisdom is also priceless in of itself. Wisdom isn't just useful. It is the most valuable treasure that we could ever hope to find. This is the second thing that wisdom brings. Wisdom brings what is incomparably precious. Look at verse 15. Continues she, talking about wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Comparing wisdom here to jewels would be like us comparing wisdom to the most expensive houses or cars or fashion, things that show status. Can you see here how the Lord is showing us that wisdom is incomparably precious? If you missed it, I'm going to read it again. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Money? No. Possessions? No. Comfort? No. Social media trends? Please. Those little rectangular devices of obsession that we had that we used to call people or text people when we drop, lose, or break it, like our life feels like they're going to end? Come on. Those things don't bring what wisdom brings. And I needed to hear this week too. The things that we hold on too tightly, that we think, okay, this is what will give me life. This is what will give me blessing. But listen, unlike things like our phones, wisdom never requires a software update or a trade-in for the next newest model. All things pale in comparison to the blessing that wisdom brings, the blessing of living God's way in God's world. Early in his reign, King Solomon, he was given the choice by God and he could have asked for things like wealth or long life or wisdom. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for victory over his enemies, which at that time would have been a pretty big deal. Like to be able to defend himself and his nation from opposing nations, that would have been huge at that time. But he asks for wisdom. Why? Because he understood that wisdom is incomparably precious. Nothing that we could want compares with wisdom. Listen, again, I needed to hear this from the Lord this week because I know there are things in my life at times where, again, I hold too tightly to those things based on my limited understanding. Listen, wisdom is the greatest thing that I can desire in my life to find blessing. And it's the greatest thing in your life that you could desire to find blessing. If we are to truly experience the unparalleled blessing of wisdom, which is what Proverbs 3 is all about, I wrote down a couple of things here. We need to have a reordering of values in our lives. I need a reordering of values in my life. Firstly, I need a wisdom over what I have. I need to ask, what is more precious, what I have or what wisdom offers? It can be easy to just want to accumulate more stuff and to hold on to things and to hold on to them tightly, but the wise person is generous with what they have because they know this: one who gives freely yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. The wise person understands that the Lord blesses the generous heart. Now, this isn't like a one-for-one trade-off. Lord, I'm going to give you this and then you're going to give me that in return. Not at all, but the wise person is not so focused on hoarding temporary things because they are focused on what is far more precious than anything that they could have or want. That is the Lord's wisdom. So I need a wisdom over what I have. I also need wisdom over what I say and how I act. What is more precious? Saying what I want to say, acting how I want to act, or acting and speaking based on the Lord's wisdom? Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reordering your values means choosing wisdom over impulses, letting your words bless others rather than harm others. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the Bible says, the fool only rages and laughs and there is no quiet. Reordering our values means choosing wisdom over our pride. It means being slow to speak, means being quick to listen. Proverbs 29 continues, says this, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Reordering your values means choosing wisdom over the satisfaction of venting your anger. Listen, a lack of wisdom, a lack of the ability to live God's way in God's world, that leads to selfishness and hurtful words and constant conflict and a lack of self-control. But with wisdom, with God's way, brings healing words, peaceful interactions, self-controlled living. These things are incomparably precious. Wisdom transforms how we speak, how we act, how we respond. Nothing in the world can match the treasure and the preciousness of a wise heart. Nothing. And so we see the profit of wisdom and the reason to pursue wisdom. But now we also see some of the actual tangible blessings of wisdom. Look at verse 16. It says, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Third today, wisdom brings this, the provision of life, riches, and honor. Just saying what the text is right here, very simple. Solomon tells us that in wisdom's right hand is long life. Now, time out for a second. This does not mean that every wise person is going to live to be 100. It's just not what it's saying. But the Bible is not making some blanket statement here about lifespan. But what it is telling us is that wisdom tends to protect life. Wisdom tends to maintain life. But a lack of wisdom often leads to choices that drain life. Wisdom doesn't make us immortal, but it does make us careful and thoughtful about what we do in our lives. But then Solomon also says that in wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. Time out again. This does not mean that the wise person, every wise person, is going to be a millionaire. It's just not. Wisdom is not some lottery ticket, but wisdom does shape how we handle what God gives us. Wisdom does, the wise person tends to steward money well and avoid foolish debt and live with contentment rather than constantly seeking to acquire more. And beyond finances, wisdom also brings honor. It brings respect from others, credibility and influence and trust. The reality is people listen to wise people. There are people in your life, I'm sure you can think about, you're like, I respect this person. I value this person's opinion in my life. Why? Because you probably think that person is wise. That when they say, you're like, I want to listen. I have people like that in my life. Mentors who say things to me and I look to them and I respect them because the Lord has taken them down a journey that they can then speak into my life and I can receive that the wisdom that they have been given from the Lord and I can be blessed by that. Wisdom brings honor. Wisdom brings provision and it brings life. There's this road that I have to drive when I coming from a home or going to my home, and on this road there's this really narrow, windy hill at like the top of it, and this hill basically has no guardrails. I don't know who designed this; it was terrible. But whenever I drive down that hill, especially if it's like dark or the weather's bad, I gotta make sure I'm focused, I'm not distracted, I get both hands on the wheel. The reason is because I know if I am just one distraction, one bad decision, one slip up, and that car's probably in the ditch or down the hill. Now, what's interesting is I have never driven down this road and thought, you know what I think this road needs? Less guardrails. I've never driven down this road once. You know what would make this drive more enjoyable? Less protection. Not once. I actually think it needs more. But this is what wisdom is like. Wisdom doesn't promise that we will never face danger. Wisdom doesn't promise we will never face difficulty. But wisdom does help us stay on the road. Ignoring wisdom would be like me driving too fast or distracted or overconfident down that little hill. I might get by for a while, but eventually I'm probably finding myself in the ditch. Wisdom doesn't take away freedom. Listen, wisdom helps us to actually enjoy it. Wisdom is God's guardrails for our lives. And if I'm being honest, there are many times in my life when in my own sin, in my own flesh, I rely far too heavily on my tiny pool of knowledge. I think I know what to do or what will bring joy, and I make decisions based on that. I may have some knowledge of some things at some times, but that doesn't always mean that I have wisdom. It doesn't always mean that I have the ability to live God's way in God's world at that moment. I read this earlier this week, and it made me laugh. It also brought some heavy conviction. It was by an old dead Christian, and they usually have good things to say. Said this, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. That was good. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. You could know a whole lot and still be a fool. I could know a whole lot and still live foolishly. The right use of knowledge, wisdom, the skill to live God's way in God's world, that is what we are going after. That is what we need to desire. Here are a couple of examples of how we can have a knowledge of something, maybe a whole lot of knowledge, but not a whole lot of wisdom to live God's way. First, I wrote this down. We can know that prayer matters, that prayer is essential to life, life with God, but a lack of wisdom, we can still choose not to pray. Time to pray, you know what? I just need to sleep in for a couple hours. Time to pray, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna check my phone real quick. Time to pray, I can maybe pray while driving. Time to pray, I'll pray tonight. And then tonight turns into tomorrow, and then tomorrow turns into I haven't prayed for a month. We can have the wisdom, we can have the knowledge to know that we need to pray, but lack wisdom in actually doing it. What about this? We can know God's word gives direction, but we could lack wisdom and still choose independence over dependence. We can choose, we say we know what's gonna bring the good life, and so we choose to go after those things instead of what scripture says, partly because we just choose to ignore God's word. You know what, I need to see what scripture says. I'm gonna trust my own instincts right now. Time to seek God's counsel. I've already made up my mind. Time to listen to God. You know, I just need God to get on board with my plan that I have for my life. That is a bad idea. We often treat scripture like a reference manual instead of a roadmap. We check it when we're lost, but we ignore it when we think we know where we're going. Listen, we read it, we can agree with it, we can even underline it. But then we close it, and for some reason we think that we have the knowledge to have ultimate authority in our lives. And I do this too. Moment by moment, we need to check ourselves. Say, am I living with wisdom right now? With the Lord's wisdom. One more here. We can know that honor comes from living with integrity, but we could still lack wisdom and then choose shortcuts over faithfulness. If we think it's time to be honest, sometimes we think, you know, I'm just gonna leave that part out right now. Time to do the right thing. I'm just gonna kind of bend the right thing right now based on what I want. You know, time to keep my word. You know, it's just not really convenient for me to keep my word right now. Listen, verse 16 says that wisdom brings honor. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Honor comes from humility, and this comes from submitting to the instruction of the Lord. It comes from the fear of the Lord, a reverent relationship with the Lord. Verse 17 now, it shifts our focus from some of the practical blessings that we receive to the way that wisdom impacts actually how we walk in our daily life. Look what it says, verse 17, her ways, wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Fourthly, what wisdom brings, it brings pleasant ways and peaceful paths. Again, it's right there. Pleasant ways, peaceful paths. Wisdom doesn't just reward us, it actually directs us. A life following wisdom will generally see less unnecessary frustration, less guilt, less regret. Instead, a life following wisdom experiences ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. Listen, peace. Peace is the fruit of choosing the right path over the easy one or the popular one. Choosing God's way over your way or others' ways. Great peace have those who love your law, the word says. Nothing can make them stumble. The reason that wisdom brings unparalleled blessing is because it brings peace to your life. Do you want peace in your life right now? I ask myself this, I'm like, yes, yes, Lord, please. Peace. Listen, peace is not found in our work. It's not found in our bank account. It's not found in our family. Peace is found in the wisdom that comes from the Lord, the wisdom to live God's way in God's world. Isaiah 26 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. James 3 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable. Pure and peaceable. Listen, a real treasure of wisdom is that it is a path that brings peace to your life. I think of parents in the room juggling morning routines and school drop-offs and pickups with kids and work life and then family life and chores and everything in between. I think of students who are juggling a lot of the same things, who are juggling homework and school pressures and social pressures and exams and studies and what to do next and where to go and dealing with everything social media. Listen, wisdom doesn't remove the challenges of parenting or of being a student. It doesn't. But wisdom does make the day-to-day routine more pleasant and more peaceful. And that's what I know I want. And so I just want to stay on the family for a quick moment here. Parents in the room, how are you choosing wisdom in your daily parenting? Now, I know I want this so much, and thankfully my kids are far too young to know I'm talking about them right now. But I need this so much. And whatever season of life you may be in with your kids, whether they're like toddler age or like preteen age or high school age or university age or they're out of the house, whatever that, like it'll look different for you, but is there peace in your life when it comes to your parenting right now? In disagreements with your kids, do you respond to them right away or do you take moments to consider and to prayerfully take time to pray before you respond, but you're like, no, but Gia, they are wrong. Maybe. But how do you take that moment to say, Lord, give me wisdom in my response here? Listen, do you prioritize time with your kids? In the midst of busy schedules, it's so hard, but say, Lord, I'm gonna show them how valuable they are, and that's gonna give me the opportunity to wisely speak into their lives as well. Again, if you have older kids, are you seeking to use wise discipline with them instead of just seeking to punish them? Listen, wisdom can instill peace in parenting. Again, Lord, I need this so much. Students in the room, stop looking at your parents now. Students in the room, do you have peace in your life right now? So often in my interaction with students, I hear something along the lines of, my life is so stressful right now. I have so much anxiety because of blank. Performance tasks, exams, friend group, relationship, family issues, future things. Listen, students in the room, whatever season of studenting, that's not a word, whatever season you're in when it comes to being a student, listen, if you're stressed about which school you go to, what program you take, what job you pursue, what comes next, and you're just like, gee, my whole life is anything but peaceful paths right now. Listen, it is not God's will for your life to be living with endless stress and anxiety. It's not. Listen, at the end of the day, the Lord does not care what school you go to. He does not care what job you get. He does not care how much money you make. He does not care how many letters are after your name for how many degrees you've taken. He just doesn't. Those things aren't bad. They're absolutely not. But those things do not give you the ultimate value and treasure that you have in Christ. It doesn't change his plan for your life, what school you go to or what degree you take. It just doesn't. Again, I don't want to say those things don't matter because they do. But far too often, we make it matter far more than it needs to. One of my favorite verses, Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Do you have hope today for your future that comes from believing in God, that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that brings peace to your life? Or are you relying on your own efforts to give you that hope? Or are you relying on the wisdom of the world to give you that hope? So we have seen how wisdom now, the skill to live God's way in God's world, is of greater value than anything we could ever get. It's incomparably precious. The practical blessings it gives, the peace that it offers. And now in verse 18, we get this final and awesome promise. Look at verse 18. It says, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Wisdom brings this promised life for those who hold fast to it. Now, something to mention here is throughout Proverbs, wisdom is referred to using feminine pronouns like she or her. Now Proverbs is a book of poetry, and it generally uses figures of speech language. So wisdom here is not literally a woman. We're not talking about a woman here. We are talking about wisdom. There are some scholars that say in a very practical way that Solomon is speaking to his sons here and in a way is encouraging his sons to pursue a wisdom as a way a young man would pursue a woman for marriage. Very practical there, but at the end of the day, they say we're not talking about a woman here. We're talking about wisdom. And wisdom here is referred to as a tree of life. A tree of life. You cannot read this and not think about the Garden of Eden. Tree of life. In Genesis, it says, out of the ground, the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Adam and Eve, they were placed in the garden to live in perfect harmony with God, to live God's way in God's world. But they chose to sin. They chose disobedience. It says, and because of that, they were forced out of the garden. In Genesis 3, it says, the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden. Listen, even though Adam and Eve sinned in this moment, this here was an act of mercy from the Lord. It was an act of mercy from him because he knew that Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, when they sinned, because of that brought the ability for human beings to be unbelievably cruel and violent to one another, brought the potential for unbelievable suffering and pain. And the Lord knew that if he allowed Adam and Eve to eat from that tree of life and live forever, they, and by extension us, would be stuck in that helpless state forever with no hope. But the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knowing perfectly how to live in his world according to his way, and because of his kindness, says, I'm not going to allow for this. He sends them out of the garden. And here in verse 18 in Proverbs 3, we see some very intentional language. In order to receive the benefits of this tree of life, of this tree of wisdom, we must lay hold and hold fast to wisdom. Now, this is a very important question. How do we hold fast to wisdom? How do we gain the skill to live God's way in God's world? This is a piece of information that could change your life today. It could change the way you live today. Proverbs 4 says, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Here it is. Here is the ultimate wisdom for life. It begins and ends in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Ultimate wisdom for life begins and ends with the person of Jesus Christ. In Genesis, the tree of life stood at the center of the garden, but humanity chose its own wisdom over the wisdom of God. Humanity chose its own way, living my way in my world as opposed to God's way in God's world. And ever since then, every human heart has been chasing life, has been chasing meaning and peace and security and fulfillment, but often all in the wrong places. Wisdom, living God's way in God's world, is the thing that was lost in the garden. But scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 30 continues, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, the wisdom that was sent to redeem, to restore, to save, to give us his righteousness and take on our sinfulness. Where Adam failed to obey, Jesus Christ obeyed fully. Where we choose our own way, Jesus Christ chose to submit to the Father's will. And at the cross, Jesus took the consequences of our sin, of our foolishness, of our rejection of God's wisdom. Why? So that life could be restored. What was lost in Eden is restored through Jesus Christ. And then we get this promise in Revelation. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. One day, through faith in Christ, who has overcome sin and death, we, through faith in him, get to eat from the tree of life. and live with Christ forever. This is the unparalleled blessing of wisdom. So listen, are you still trying to build your life on your own wisdom, on your own way? Or are you ready to lay hold of God's wisdom? Are you ready to lay hold of Jesus Christ? For some here this morning, that means putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the first time for the forgiveness of your sins. That can happen right now. And he will receive that and forgive you and restore you and grant you life. For others, that means returning to Christ and letting go of lesser treasures, things that have gripped your heart for so long that you say, Christ, Lord, this cannot have a grip on my heart anymore. You are the ultimate treasure. The promise is clear. Those who hold fast to Christ are blessed. Those who lay hold of Christ have a treasure without equal. Imagine someone for a moment lost in the wilderness. They've been walking for hours. They're hungry. They're tired. They're unsure where they are. The sun is beating down relentlessly on them. Every step feels heavier than the next. Then all of a sudden they look up and there they see it, a large, healthy tree. Its branches provide shade. The branches provide immediate relief, and the fruit of the tree brings nourishment. The deep roots of the tree signal that there is water nearby. Now listen, that tree doesn't magically take away every issue and struggle and fix everything, but it gives life where life is most threatened. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's the picture here. The blessing is not found in passing the tree. The blessing is found in dwelling under it by staying in its shadow. Wisdom is that tree, and Jesus Christ is the fullness of wisdom. Blessing in life isn't found by knowing of Christ and walking on the other side of the road. The blessing of wisdom is found by dwelling in the shelter of Christ. If we want the unparalleled blessing of wisdom, we need to hold fast and stay in the shadow of Christ. The problem is so many of us think blessing is found in one more achievement or one more milestone or one more upgrade or one more thing. It's just not. The Lord is telling me this week, and I know he's speaking to many of us too. We need to stop thinking that life and blessing is found further down the road. We need to hold fast to Christ. We need to hold fast to his wisdom, because Jesus Christ, he truly is a treasure without equal. Let's pray. So Father, we come before you now, acknowledging that we have so often chased lesser treasures. We have trusted in our own wisdom, our own way, pursued our own ways, and searched for life in places that could never really give life. Lord, you tell us that wisdom is a treasure without equal. Your wisdom, the ability to live your way in your world, is truly what leads to blessing. It is a tree of life to all who hold fast. And so, Lord, I confess, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need it. And I pray that my friends in this room would be praying that too right now. Lord, we don't just need wisdom to know more, but to live properly, to live rightly. Not just to get through life, but to experience life in the way that you have planned for us, in a way that you can bless. It doesn't take away challenges or difficulty, but it has your presence. And with that comes blessing. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. You would teach us to rest in the shadow of Jesus Christ, being so close to him. Lord, for those who have been striving, Lord, I pray you would give them rest. For those who are anxious, I pray you would give them peace. For those who feel lost, Lord, I pray you would draw them near to you. Jesus, you are the wisdom of God. Lord, you have restored life for us. We want to turn from our ways today, and we want to hold fast to you. So Lord, I pray that we may leave this place pursuing you, pursuing your wisdom above all, prizing you above everything we could ever imagine, because you, Lord, are our greatest treasure. I pray these things in your precious name. Amen.